chapter number 20. Just to give you a quick, this has nothing to do with the message tonight. The song was about the wise men. And most of the time when you see the stable scene or the manger scene, you always see the wise men at the manger scene. The wise men actually were not at the manger scene. The wise men came. Jesus was about 18 to 24 months old when they came to the manger. But it's always funny when you see the manger scene depicted, the three wise men at the manger. But that's just not the case. They were there. They came to his house. He was about 18 to 24 months old by the time the wise men got there. So just a little tip of the day, I guess we'll call it, all right? But Acts chapter number 20, and I'm looking forward to what God has for us tonight. Go ahead and stand. We'll look at verse number 7. We'll dive right in tonight. It's been a long day. It's been a great day. It's been a good day. Excited for the things we have coming up, and excited for what the Lord will give us tonight. All right, Acts chapter number 20. Look at verse number 7. Here we find the early church, and here they're meeting. They're having service, and Paul is preaching. It says, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. A couple things we see here in verse 7. Here we find out that they're having church on Sunday. We know in the Old Testament they kept the Sabbath day holy. They had church, if you will, on Saturday. But here we found out we're under the grace of God, the dispensation of the grace of God. We're in the church age here, and they're having church on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. I know a lot of us that work like to think the first day of the week is Monday. But the first day of the week is Sunday. And here they are meeting on the first day of the week, and they're breaking bread. They're partaking of the Lord's Supper. They're having service. They're having the Lord's Supper. And the Bible says that that Paul preached on them until midnight. Now you have to understand the Jewish time frame. Our time frame, we start our new day at 12:01 or 12 o'clock midnight, if you will. Under the Jewish time frame, their day starts, their next day begins at 6 p.m. So to kind of bring it all in, our Saturday at 6 p.m. is their Sunday. Okay, so our Saturday night at 6 o'clock, we're just Saturday. We don't turn to Sunday till 12:01 or 12 o'clock midnight. They start Sunday at 6 o'clock. So here the first day of the week, they're meeting around 6 p.m. They're having service. And Paul, the Bible says, Paul preaches until midnight, which is kind of my plan tonight. So we got about 5.5 hours left to go here tonight. So you can't complain. See, you can't complain about a long message. Here they were, Paul preaching for a very long time. But look what happens. It says in verse 8, and there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. Here they are. They're up in the upper chamber. Now you have to understand a few things. Here, this is Paul's third missionary journey, sometime between 54 to 58 A.D. And they're meeting in the upper chamber. They're meeting in someone's house. See, the church building, that actually having church in a church building, didn't start till around 440 A.D. to bring it to perspective. They had to meet in homes. There was great persecution going on. They couldn't just build the first church of Jerusalem and have it sitting in the town of Jerusalem. They met in churches all the way till 440 A.D. That was the first church where they started to meet inside of a building. And here they're having church in someone's house. And to understand the typical Jewish home, on the first floor of a typical Jewish home, you would have the animals and the livestock, okay? So on the first floor, now in a typical farming, you have your house, and then you'd have a barn somewhere off the side. They didn't have it. They didn't have a room. They didn't do it like that. They had, the first floor was the barn. They had all their animals. And then on the second floor would be the main living area. This would be the area, for all the big screen TVs and the PlayStation 4s. They meant to play NHL hockey. But that would be the main area, right, where they'd have their rooms and their beds and everything on the main floor. And then you'd have the upper chamber or the third floor. And on the third floor, this is, of course, where it was an open spot. It was a place they could have family reunions. It was a place they could meet and have church. It was an open area. Maybe family traveling in would stay up in the upper chamber in the open room there up on the third floor. And you imagine here, they're having church, and Paul's preaching away. And we find three different types of church members that we'll see here in our text I want to look at real quick tonight. Three different types of church members. Which one are you? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you for this evening. Lord, we thank you for the faithfulness of the members of this church. And Lord, with a good crowd out tonight and wanting to serve you. And Lord, hear from you on high. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, as I bring the message tonight, Lord, that you would use my mouth as your mouthpiece. Lord, touch the hearts of your people. And Lord, that we know that we're coming in here that we'll leave a better Christian than we walked in. Lord, help us to serve you better every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. The very first church member I see here in the text is the attending church member. We find that in verse number 8. It says, and there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. Here I can think of these are the faithful church members. I feel like I'm preaching to the choir on this one, but it's always good to maybe kind of get a little bit of encouragement in this. But here's your faithful church members. And, you know, they read about in Hebrews how it says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. You know, the Bible tells us we shouldn't necessarily forsake the assembling of ourselves together, right? It's important to meet in church. It's important to be faithful to God. And why is that? The Bible says, why? To exhort one another. You know, when I come to church, I leave encouraged. I don't know about you guys. You know, but when we come to church, it's encouraging to be around other believers, right? I mean, we get beat up all week in the world, and you know, even if you miss a Wednesday, now you've went a whole week without being in church, or you know, like, what was that? Yeah, Wednesday night when we didn't have church because of a snowstorm. You know, it's kind of weird, right? You go, now it's like, man, we haven't been in church in a long time. And, you know, the world will beat you up all week, or even half the week if you come on Wednesday night. And why I believe Wednesday night's a very important, I don't mean it like this, but Wednesday night is almost a more important service than Sunday night. Not that one service is more important than the other. But Wednesday night is a great service. You've been in the, you know, you've been to work now Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You've kind of been out of church, you know what I mean? Out of church for 3 days now. You've been beaten up by the world a little bit. It feels good to come in church on a Wednesday night and kind of get refreshed and get encouraged, you know, again, and get your batteries recharged up again. But it's important that we're faithful. Why? To encourage each other. And I know as we come here and we have such a great church and a friendly church and a caring church, and we shake hands and we tell stories and we love on each other, and I'm thankful for that. But, you know, we need to do that, encourage each other. Why? Because it's important to be faithful to God. Here, these attending church members read the Word of God. They found that verse. They read it. They believed it. We know as believers that the Bible's not a buffet. And a lot of people like to treat the Bible like a buffet. You know, well, I like this verse, but I don't like that verse. You know, oh, this one, I can live by this one, but I can't live by that one. And too many times, especially nowadays, people treat the Bible like a buffet. It's why you have so many versions or perversions, however you want to look at it, of the Word of God, so people can sit back and say, well, I don't like the way that one says it. I like the way this one says it. How about the way that God says it? That's a good one there. But, you know, we find out here the Bible's not a buffet. The Bible doesn't have Burger King written on it. You can't have it your way, right? You got to take it the way that God wants you to have it. And, you know, the Bible, you know, tells you to study the Word of God. In 2 Timothy 2:15, what does the Bible tell you to do? It says, study to show thyself approved a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Just as a quick note, the King James Bible is the only Bible that tells you, number one, to study it. All the other versions or perversions, whatever you want to call them, take that word study out. And all the other ones take out rightly dividing the word of rightly divide out the word of truth. Because really to understand the Bible, I'm not going to get into this tonight. I don't even know why I'm going this way. But, you know, to really fully understand the Bible, you have to rightly divide the Bible. You can't take a verse to a Jew and apply it doctrinally to the church age. You can't take a verse that is doctrinally to the tribulation and apply it to the church age. Or likewise, which is where you get all, why, you know, people ask, why do we have the Church of God? Why do we have Free Will Baptists? Why do we have all these different religions and all these different views from one book? Why is that happening? Well, it's because what they do is they take a verse out of context that is doctrinally, again, for a different dispensation, maybe in the Old Testament, maybe during the tribulation, and they try to apply it under grace. You can't do that. That's why you get all these different religions out of one book. But anyway, so we have to take the Bible for what it is. It's not a buffet. It doesn't have Burger King written on it. And the Bible says that a man, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. See, God's number one requirement in us is faithfulness. It is important to God that we're faithful. Not an option. It doesn't say, well, moreover, it is optional whether you're faithful or not. No, the Bible says it is required in a steward, that would be you if you're saved, that a man be found faithful. It's important to be faithful. God puts a premium on faithfulness. You know, and I'm not just talking about church attendance. God puts a premium on what we do with our money. God puts a premium on our faithfulness with our talents. I'm thankful again for their choir, you know, and showing up early. Got here at 4 o'clock today. Been here for two and a half hours already tonight. And, you know, and showing up and being faithful and really working hard and trying hard. It's not just about church, you know, attendance, if you will, and that's important, very important. But what are we doing with our, how faithful are we with our time, with our treasures, with our talents? You know, those go a long way with God too. And we have to continue to always strive to be as faithful as we can. Now, I know a lot of people try to be smart. So a lot of people try to come up with good ideas to get around this. My dad has a friend, or had a friend. They moved away or whatever. But my dad's friend, what he did was he got a boat, a real nice boat. So he put on the name. He named the boat Visitation. That way, anytime people would say, "Oh, where's Steve tonight? Oh, he's out on visitation." Oh, praise the Lord, brother. You know, see, people get smart at that. You know, start name their toys, you know, Visitation or things like that. But you know, and it's funny. But you know, he didn't really do that for that reason. But it was a funny joke there on why he did it. But here we find our faithful attending church member. I realize tonight I'm preaching to the choir on this, but it's helped to have encouragement in that, that God does put a premium on it, that it does matter that you're faithful, as we've kind of been talking about here on Sunday nights. We've been talking about faithfulness and being committed, the cost of commitment, and why it does matter. So, you know, those are important things. So I can imagine here, Paul here, he's preaching. You know, here you have your faithful church attending members, and they're amening, and they're glory to God, and the service is going great. And then you find your second church member here, and that's your apathetic church member or your uninterested church member. Look at verse 9. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. Here we find a man by the name of Eutychus. Maybe you, I mean, again, it's on our terms, it's Saturday, 6 p.m. for the Jewish day. It was the first day of the week. It was Sunday morning, not morning, but it was first hours of Sunday there. And maybe Eutychus had worked all day. I don't know. Maybe he had worked all day, and now it was time to go to church there in the evening. And, you know, he was tired, obviously, but he really didn't want to be there. You can tell by, you know, he's up there. He's in the third loft. He gets up in this window. He's kind of sitting in the window. He's, like, not really paying attention. And you know, and what happens is he falls out of church. Here we find out this that Eutychus, I could see his wife kind of dragging him to church. "Come on, Eutychus, we got to go to church tonight. Come on. You know, we got church. We got to get going." And unfortunately, in the homes today, and not here at Emmanuel, but in a lot of, if you go to a lot of different churches across the country, you'll find that most of the time the male is not the spiritual leader of the home. You'll find out that the ladies are, and the ladies are the ones having, you know, drag the family to church, or, you know, try to get the husband to go to church. I'm thankful at Emmanuel we have strong male leaders. Not that female leadership isn't strong either, but we have strong male leadership, right, in our churches that serve God, and I'm thankful for that. But here you can definitely see that Eutychus has a drug problem. There's no doubt about it here. See, what do you mean? Well, you can tell that his wife drug him to church here almost every time they had to go. So he had a horrible drug problem here. But anyway, I've got to wake you guys up. Is mic on? All right, there we go. All right. Well, here we go. Here we have Eutychus, and he falls out of church. Here he fell asleep. And when you fall asleep on God, it's easy to fall out of church. That's why I try to be an encouragement to everyone everyone in a ministry here at Emmanuel. You know, why it's important to be faithful to the ministry God called you to. You know, people get in trouble when they start kind of getting a little tired, and they start getting a little bit weary in their ministry that God has called them to, and they kind of start to fall asleep. And you'll see it in people. You know, you'll start to notice people that used to be the faithful church attending member. You know, they'll start to all of a sudden, you know, they'll miss, you know, Sunday school here and there. And then, you know, all of a sudden, where are they at on Wednesday night? You know, and oh, where are they at on Sunday? And then all of a sudden, well, they can't, you know, well, we can't sing in the choir anymore. I got this going on. And oh, I can't really teach my class anymore. And what you'll start, they're starting to fall asleep on God. And they're starting to get tired. They're starting to get weary, as Eutychus we find out here. How important it is to continue to be active. Why? Because if you don't continue to be active with church and be active with God, it's easy to fall asleep on God. And I think of myself, and I think I'd be a good example. I am a morning person. I like mornings. I know some people hate mornings. On the other hand, I like mornings. I have more energy in the morning than I do at nighttime. And my wife can attest to that. She gets mad at me all the time. Because by the time, you know, it's time to sit down, we'll sit down together to watch TV or watch something, you know, whatever, watch something. And man, I get in that recliner and I sit down, I prop my feet up. I can feel like ready to take on the world. And in like 30 seconds, I'm like, I'm out. You know, I don't know. It puts me to sleep. But I kind of think of that as Eutychus. You know, he's tired. He got home. He gets in the wind. He's not really that interested. He doesn't really care what Paul's preaching about. He's not really paying attention anyway. He really doesn't care what Paul has to say. And you know, there's people like that. You could have Apostle Paul up here preaching. You could have a revival, say Jesus Christ will be here preaching the gospel, and people will sit there and they don't really care and they won't pay attention. You know, it doesn't really matter to them. Here we find Eutychus is that man. But I pose the question, why didn't he fall into church? I mean, here he is in the window. He could have fell into church. He could have fell out of church. Why didn't he fall into church? Why? Because he was leaning more on the outside than he was leaning on the inside. You know, you hear of people that fall out of church because they get mad. We joked about it, the color of the carpet. You know, you hear about silly things, or my birthday is not in the bulletin, or I had someone get mad at me one time because I preached out of the same book of the Bible 2 weeks in a row. On a Sunday morning, I preached out of Ruth one Sunday, and then I moved on in the text the next Sunday. I had someone get mad at me for that and get mad and leave. I mean, you know, but the real issue is they're leaning more on the outside than they are on the inside, right? Amen? Here they are, you know, and you know, people will get mad, and most of the time when people get upset, you know, they'll give you a lame reason of why they left. You know, they'll say, well, somebody offended me, or the preacher always mentions money. Well, let me tell you, every time I go to Walmart, somebody offends me. Amen. Have you been to Walmart? It can be offensive to go to Walmart sometimes. But guess what? I still go back. Amen. Every time, you know, people get mad. Well, the preacher, he always mentions money. Well, every time I go to Walmart, they mention money, but I still go back. Amen. See, you know, when the interests get greater on the outside, that pull starts to get greater on the outside. Why? Because he could have fell into church. He's here in the middle. But what happens, he falls out of church. Why? Because the outside had a greater pull on his life than the inside did. We have to be careful in our lives that we don't, as we talk about being committed, being faithful to God, that we don't allow the outside to have a greater pull than the inside. When we allow things like activities and hobbies and sports and other things or whatever it might be to start to pull you more on the outside, unfortunately, what's going to happen is you're going to fall out of church. You're leaning more on the outside. I've told the story before. I'm not going to go in detail again, but I've told the story of my Uncle Tom and how he used to be the faithful church attending member and how he got out of God's will and started to go clay shooting with his son. And because of that great hobby he did with his son on a Saturday, wasn't a big deal. They started shooting clay on Sundays. Well, one tournament here, one tournament there, one Sunday here, one Sunday there turned into two, and two turned into three. And before you know it, the outside had a greater pull on their life than the inside did. And as you know the story, what happened to my Uncle Tom, he fell straight to the bottom out of the third story, fell straight to the bottom, and you guys know the rest of the story there, what happened there. We have to be careful in our lives, and something that might seem fun, shooting clays with your son's a fun, good idea, nothing wrong with that, but they allowed that outside pull to start to be greater than the pull on the inside. Here, Eutychus is no different. There he is sitting in the window. The outside had a greater pull than the inside. So I ask the question, what is it going to take to get you to fall out of church? See, everybody here is something different. Everybody here, you know, it has different things going on in their life. But there's something in your life that the devil wants to use, and again, everybody here is different, that the devil wants you to get a little bit more interested in than what's going on in here. What the devil's going to try to do. And what happens is you're serving God and you're faithful, and all of a sudden, man, you're in this ministry and you're in that ministry, and all of a sudden you're like, man, I'm starting to get tired. Man, I've been doing this ministry for a long time, and you know, I'm kind of getting tired. Let me go over to the window and get a little bit of fresh air. Let me go kind of relax for a minute. And what do we do? We go over to the window a little bit, and we sit down in that window, and all of a sudden, you know, we're starting to get a little bit less interested in what's going on in the inside. And, you know, now the devil's, all right, I got him. I got him by the window. And the devil comes by and says, hey, let me bring this into their life. Let me bring that into their life. That way I can get a little bit more pull on their life. I can get a little more pull this way. And before you know it, you're starting to fall asleep. You're starting to fall asleep on what God has called you to do. And what happens? The outside has a greater pull than the inside, and you fall out of church. It happens all the time. We have to guard ourselves against that and be careful of that. What is it going to take for you to fall out of church? What is it going to take for the devil to get you to lean more on the outside than on the inside? See, only you can answer that question. There is something. Don't ever let the devil, the Bible says not to give place to the devil. Don't give him any place in your heart and in your life. Why? Because that pull will start to pull harder and harder if you allow it to happen. So number one, we find our faithful church-attending member. Number two, we find our apathetic or our uninterested church member. And the third and final one, we find our awakened church member. Here we find out that Eutychus, we know, he fell out of church. This man fell out of a third-story loft, third-story window. He fell all the way to the bottom. And the Bible says that it appeared as he was dead. Look what it says in verse 9. He fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. So what does Paul do right away? You know, he jumps down. You can imagine as Paul, here he is preaching away, and all of a sudden, bloop, there goes Eutychus, falls out of church. So Paul goes, oh man, we got to go check on Eutychus. We got to make sure that he's okay. And you can imagine as Paul, you know, jumps down and gets to the steps, and he goes down to the second floor, and he gets down to the first floor, and he runs out, and there's Eutychus laying there on the ground. He's fallen out of church, and he goes, Eutychus, come on, buddy. What's going on? And what he's trying to do is trying to encourage him. Hey, Eutychus, you got to wake up, man. Are you okay, Eutychus? You know, we as believers, we have the job of reconciliation. To reconcile, for those who know any accounting, you know that a lot of times what you do, if you're going to reconcile your bank statement, right, you take your receipts or you take your charges and you take the bank statement, two things that are opposite, you reconcile them and they become one. You reconcile together, they become one. People that fall out of church, let me tell you, when you fall out of church, like Eutychus, it hurts. When you fall from the third story and you hit the bottom, it's a painful thing. And people that have fallen out of church, people that we know, maybe family members, maybe loved ones, again, maybe people that used to sit in that pew or this pew or that pew that used to be here, but now they've fallen out of church and they no longer go to church. Our job as a believer is not to call each other and gossip and talk about them. You know what our job is to do? Is to reconcile them back to the church. That's our job to do. It's not to be a gossip. It's not to call around. Did you know about this person? Did you hear what they did? Did you hear what they were doing? Did you hear they fell out of church because they were doing this and doing that? No, our job, we have a job of reconciliation. We have a job to reconcile them back to God and to encourage them to get back into church. And here, Paul is no different. Look at verse 10. He's trying to encourage them. He's trying to reconcile them back into God's will and back into church. It says, and Paul went down and he fell on them and embracing them said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. Here we find the awakened Paul. Paul's encouraging. Come on, Eutychus. Come on, buddy. Get back up. It's okay. Get back on your feet. We all fall down. We all make mistakes. We're not perfect. And come on, get back up. And he's encouraging. We got to do that, people. There's people that are out of church and people that are that used to go to church or people that used to serve God, and they're hurting, and they're going through a rough time. It's our job of reconciliation. Encourage them. Bring them back to church. Hey, I'll give you a ride. Hey, next Sunday, Christmas Sunday. Hey, come on back to church, and you know, we'll have a great Christmas cantata and with the choir and a great preaching. Come on back. We have to have that job. We have to have that heart. Paul goes down here. He's encouraging him in verse number 10. He says, hey, life is in him. Great picture of a born-again believer who was saved. Here he was saved. He was in church. He was faithful, but eventually things led him outside. Life had a greater pull on him on the outside. He falls out of church, but Paul goes down there, and the Bible says that he looked like he was dead. Why? Because we can be, if you're a born-again Christian, you get out of God's will, you can be spiritually dead. You didn't lose your salvation, but you can be spiritually dead. And here it's a picture of someone being spiritually dead. It's a picture of another Christian going down and saying, hey, come on, buddy, and encouraging that believer, saying, come on, get back into church. And then in verse 11, look what happens. When he therefore was come up again, he had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. Here you find out Eutychus, he returns back into church. Paul preaches till the morning. They have about a 12-hour service, amen. Praise the Lord for that. But they have about a 12-hour service there. And Paul preaches until morning, but the key of the verse is the beginning. It says, when he therefore was come up again. Here, Eutychus is reconciled. He comes back into church, and I can imagine as Eutychus came back into church, where do you think he sat? How many people think he sat in the window again? I don't think so. You know what I think? He probably went and got a choir chair and sat right there in the middle. Amen. He's like, I'm not going anywhere near windows. In fact, make sure they're locked. You know, and why is that? Because he knows Eutychus had found out. Because when you fall out of God's will, it hurts. And Eutychus had found out because of what happened. He said, you know what? The safest place to be is in the center of God's will. The safest place to be is in the center of God's will. I can imagine as he came back in the church and sat right down the middle. Why? Because you know, when you start to linger outside of the center, what happens, you're getting closer, you're getting closer to the edge. And the closer you get to the edge, you're more vulnerable to fall, as he found out. The closer you get to the window, well, I'm okay right here, and I'm okay right here, and eventually you get to the edge. And now, as soon as I get a little bit more pull on the outside, I'm going to fall over. And he found that out. How important it is in our lives that we find ourselves starting to linger a little bit towards the outside. Let God bring you back to the inside. Make sure, where's your interest tonight? Are they on the inside or are they on the outside? If your interests start to wander to the outside, I promise you it won't be long. You'll just be like Eutychus, and before you know it, the outside and the world will have a greater pull on your life. And it won't be long before you fall out of church. We have to be careful of that in our lives. How important that is to guard our hearts and check our hearts and stay in the middle of God's will. Stay in the middle of what ministry God has called you to do. Don't get tired. Every good soldier gets tired. Every good steward gets tired. I mean, when you're serving the Lord, it isn't easy. I mean, you know, working full-time jobs and serving this ministry and that ministry and doing this and doing that. Let me tell you, it's not easy. And you can get tired, and everybody gets tired. But you can't allow maybe getting a little tired, maybe growing a little weary. You can't allow that to allow the devil to get that little tug of war going and getting that pull on your life. Stay encouraged. Stay you want to be an awakened church member. You don't want to fall out as Eutychus did. So, well, it really doesn't matter. If I fall out of church, if I don't go to church anymore, it really doesn't matter. You do realize that 85% of people that get saved are under the age of 14. 85% of people that get saved are between the ages of 4 and 14. 85%. That's an astronomical number. Between after 30, the percentage is 4%. After 30, the percentage is 4% of people saved have done so after the age of 30. Why is it important that I stay in the center of God's will? Why is it important that I continue to stay faithful in Emmanuel? Why is it important that I stay faithful to God in the ministry he called me to do? Why? Because each one of us, we have children, nieces and nephews, grandkids, sons and daughters that are watching. And if we fall out of church, look at what could happen to their lives. See, it does matter whether we stay faithful. A lot of people think, well, it doesn't matter if I don't go to church tonight. It does matter. There's somebody watching you. Maybe it isn't even a child. Maybe it's a brother. Maybe a sister. Hey, maybe a neighbor's watching out their window. Are they going back to church tonight? Sunday night. They've seen you leave on Sunday night every Sunday night for the last, you know, 3 years, but now tonight they're looking, they notice the car's in the driveway still. Well, I guess they're not going tonight. And I understand we have things that come up, and I understand that. But trying to be faithful to God as much as possible. If you're not saved here tonight, let me ask you a question. What is it going to take for you to go to hell? A lot of people allow things to get into their life, and they never make it inside the church house, if you will. What will it take you to go to hell? If you're a believer here tonight, let me ask you this question. And only you can probably answer, Brother Pat, going forward. Miss Bonnie. What's it going to take for you to fall out of church? Yeah, it'll never happen to me. Let me tell you, Eutychus never thought he'd fall out of that third-story window. Never seen it coming, but you know what? He climbed up over there. The window, the funny thing about that? The window probably felt good for a little bit. Because you can imagine back then, they didn't have air conditioning. Praise the Lord for air conditioning and heat and all the stuff we have today. But they didn't have all that good stuff, right? But you can imagine he probably got in the window, and at first it probably felt good. Hey, man, the breeze is coming through. You know, the devil will make the outside seem really nice and make the breeze start flowing through and make the outside feel like, hey, there's some attraction to the outside of this church. Man, there's some outside attraction going on out there. But you know what all it's doing is the devil's trying to pull you closer and closer to that window to get you to fall out of church. What's it going to take? Everybody here is different. Everybody here maybe has a different pull in their life that could possibly pull them out of church. What is yours? Only you can answer that. Maybe you know, maybe there's a son or a daughter or a family member who has fallen. Maybe there's somebody like Eutychus. Right now you got somebody in your life that isn't serving God, not even really going to church anymore. Maybe you want to come down and say, I want to pray for so-and-so that they get back into church. They've fallen. They're hurting. And maybe pray, Lord, you know, use me to help them. Use me like Paul. Let me run over there and fall on them and encourage them and speak into their life and encourage them to come back to church. Maybe you want to pray for that person. Brother, what number do we have tonight? Go ahead and stand. We'll have our hymn invitation. Maybe you want to pray for somebody.